In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we approach you once again this evening, we simply ask, dear Father, to feed and nourish us. Grant unto us that which thou seest that we so sorely need. Dear Father, and on this day that is ending, this theme for this day of thanksgiving and thankfulness, we ask and we say, dear Father, thank you for all thy grace, blessings. And even in this last song that we sang unto thee, our many thanks rise from our weak fleshly portion. But one day, dear Father, we can thank thee in fullness there in heaven. And to this end we ask, dear Father, preserve us here in this begun faith. Grant unto us strength and power to battle against that multiple enemies that continually strike unto us. The enemy of the soul himself and this sin-corrupted, tempting world and this sin-corrupted flesh. And dear Father, we ask to increase our faith. And we pray as thou hast taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning we heard the gospel text set aside for this Sunday, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. And indeed, as we heard, the theme for this day is thankfulness. And so I thought I'd read one of the Old Testament texts that's been set aside for this day. And that's found from the 38th chapter of Isaiah, from its 15th verse onward. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit, they cannot hope for thy truth. But the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. And the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of our Lord. Amen. This text that we read here, it's some of the thoughts that King Hezekiah had when he was on his deathbed. He was dying. The prophet had already told him that he shall die and not live, and to set thy house in order. And so there was a multitude of thoughts that were twirling around in his mind. And the 9th verse, it says here that the writings of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. So he's writing these thoughts that he had while he laid there on his bed. And the prophet who had come to help him had already shut the door behind him and had left. When we read what the Bible says of King Hezekiah in the second book of Kings from the 18th chapter, it says in this way, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." An incredible testimony that has been written concerning of our brother and King Hezekiah. He did indeed die in living faith. But Hezekiah was no different than you and I in that way, that in his everyday struggles, he did struggle. And sin attached onto him. And if you remember those days of Hezekiah when he was a child, his father was a very grievously bad king. He was an unbelieving king, and the Bible testifies of him that he did not leave a testimony of a child of God. As a matter of fact, he had made these altars throughout Jerusalem of false gods, and he wanted people to worship them as he did. And he closed the doors of the temple so that nobody could even go in to worship in the temple of God. And the temple had fallen into ruin, and he had broken the vessels of the temple, and very, 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 acted very poorly and cruelly, and indeed was deceived by Satan to that extent. All manner of things were done in the name of the false gods and idols. There was sins of adultery committed and so on. Just all manner of filth. And so King Hezekiah's father died when he was just a youth. And sad day when they buried him as an unbelieving father and a husband. But in King Hezekiah, he was young when he began to rule in Israel. But he immediately had the priests and the Levites to cleanse themselves. And this cleansing wasn't just this outward cleansing, but it was that one made repentance of the sins that had beset them. And then he placed those believing priests to serve in the temple. And those believing priests then encouraged the people to repent of those sins and wrongdoings that they did. And when you study and read about the life of King Hezekiah, he did much in Jerusalem. There's some of those what are they called? They're remembered today, the feats in ancient times. And he did one of those great feats there in Jerusalem, where he made this underground waterway, so the fresh spring water would flow right into Jerusalem. It was an incredible engineering feat of that day. And a lot of these kinds of things he did. He rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and he prepared for battle. Indeed, already the Assyrians were attacking cities and working their way day by day, month by month, year by year, closer to Jerusalem. And in the beginning of this chapter, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." It was during that time then when this King Sennacherib was approaching Jerusalem. With his armies, he had 185,000 soldiers with him, and they had surrounded Jerusalem already. And they were on the outside of the walls taunting and ridiculing, and and blaspheming the believers and living faith. And they were telling, and they were speaking in their native tongue, encouraging them to surrender, that you'll all be destroyed if you don't surrender. And indeed, when you read even in the annals of that king, it's recorded in history how at this point already, he had already destroyed and captured 46 other cities in Jerusalem. And he wrote in his journal that now I am here at the gates of Jerusalem and I have King Hezekiah trapped as a bird in a cage. And it was during these days then that Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. A very sobering message indeed from God Himself. And if it was only one's temporal house that one had to set into order, many of us that perhaps someday will be doing that also, if there is time before we're called from this earth. But Hezekiah also was reminded to set his spiritual house in order. For Hezekiah had fallen into sin, the sins on the right-hand side of the way. One brother wrote in this way that he became mired down in the deceiving bogs of self-righteousness. And I thought, what a incredible, clear picture of self-righteousness. Because indeed, when one is there, one doesn't really know that he is there. It feels so good. Self-righteousness, it causes one to feel so good because Satan says that you are so good. All the other children of God they're great sinners, but you're a good Christian. And when one tries to move, you know, you get this picture when if you try to flee self-righteousness, you know, trying to get out of that marsh, and as you put one foot down to lift the other one up, it just goes deeper and one just as if begins to sink down into that mire. And indeed, it's impossible for anybody of one's own strength to ever get out of self-righteousness. But that's why God sends on to us our dear escorts to help us, as He did to Hezekiah. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, went unto him and gave that message that God had given unto him, that set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. His reaction to this was surprising. It says that then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto God. The prophet could hear the beginning of that prayer, and this is how he began. He says, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And the Bible says that the prophet Isaiah then turned and left because he could see that he had no need for forgiveness. All he could see from his deathbed was all the good deeds that he had done. All the merit. And there was much. There was much. You know, when the temple was cleansed and he sent out those messengers throughout all of Israel to distant cities, encouraging them now, don't be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but welcome now unto these Passover services. And you know, the people came. And there was 7 days of Passover services. And the Bible says, and it records it, those services in this way, that there was not joy in Jerusalem like that to that day.
So great was the joy that God gave increase. And God gave joy because of the increase. And people were receiving the grace of forgiveness. And when one receives the forgiveness of sins, it feels so good. And one wants to forgive the other. And so it was a time of great awakening there in Jerusalem. And those services were waning down, and then the people cried, you know, that no, don't end these services. And they begged that 7 more days of services. And so the services continued then 7 more days, 2 weeks of services in Jerusalem that year. But the enemy of the soul is very cunning in that way, that he knows that the flesh likes glory. Sometimes there's that fine line because we all need encouragement. We need to encourage one another. And the Bible says, and so much more as you see that day approaching, not only to encourage, but to gather together. But then we could also fall in the air in that way that we begin to put somebody up on a pedestal. And that's very difficult for that one who is raised onto that pedestal. Very difficult. Because the flesh eats up glory. It feels so good. You know, we've been studying Jeremiah now for the book of Jeremiah now for many, many weeks, and have learned a lot from the book of Jeremiah and the life of Jeremiah and the believers in that day. And there's a portion here in the 10th or 9th chapter, and it's reminding here. He says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, we think of King Solomon. When God approached him and asked what he would desire now that he's going to be king of Israel, Solomon then was a dear child of God, a humble child. And he prayed to God, oh God, give me wisdom and guidance to rule thy people. And God said, because thou hast asked for this, and not for riches, and not for temporal wisdom, he says, I will grant you that what you ask, and I will grant you riches and temporal wisdom. So much so that there has never been anybody as wise as Solomon to that day, and never has been anyone as wise as he was today. Wisdom did not save Solomon. His riches did not save Solomon. He was deceived into unbelief, and he died in unbelief. The most wisest man that ever lived. But then God says here, but let him that glorieth glory in this. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which
exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. This text that we read were some of those thoughts that the King Hezekiah had on that bed. And these verses beforehand. For peace I had great bitterness. At first he could only see all the good that he had done. But as he lied there on his deathbed, knowing that very soon he will draw his last breath, he began to feel his sinfulness. I think it's in the second book of Kings where it records unto us that Isaiah was already in the middle courtyard walking. He had already left the king's palace. He's walking back to his home, and God spoke to him to return unto Hezekiah, for he has found the place of a child. The second book of Chronicles records unto us how Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. But then it also says, both he and the inhabitants, all the people of Jerusalem. When he was then there in the, if I can find that portion, when he was speaking unto the people, encouraging the people of Jerusalem that even though King Sennacherib's armies had surrounded Jerusalem and were taunting them, he reminded them, encouraged them to fear not. Be bold. For with him is the arm of man, but with us is our Heavenly Father, who will save us. Indeed, the next morning when they awoke, there was an eerie silence outside of the gates of Jerusalem. Around the entire walled city, there was not a sound. For in the night, 185,000 soldiers had died. Jerusalem was saved, and the people. Now Hezekiah is writing, "What shall I say? He hath both spoken to me, and himself hath done it. I go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live." He writes earlier here about some of these thoughts that he says, "My age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent." He knows that his death was very close. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Then he says, for behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. Such is the life of those in unbelief. But also such is our life when the enemy of the soul causes that grievous injury to come into our life of faith. The enemy of the soul has one purpose, and that is to destroy your faith. The correct living faith that God has gifted unto you. Many times we mourn and are sorrowful, and many times we're pressed down to this earth. Many times our footsteps are so incredibly slow and difficult. For peace I had great bitterness. Then he says, the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. When one leaves from this side of life unto death, there is nothing one is able to do. On this day, when we're reminded of how important it is to give thanks unto our Heavenly Father of this thankfulness, what is the greatest reason for thankfulness in our lives? That is, that He extends the arm of grace and mercy and forgiveness unto us. Without this, for peace, we would have great bitterness. We would not have any rest. We would be in sorrow and travail. But thank God that He sends unto us a dear brother and sister in faith, brings us that glorious and joyful message of the gospel. I know that you have many times thanked God when God's grace has descended on you. I have many, many times. When my heavy heart has been filled with the goodness of our Heavenly Father. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. I find this so encouraging in this way, that even the King of Israel was not ashamed to praise God. Openly praised and thanked our Heavenly Father for His goodness. And I know that you, dear brother and sister in your heart, have many times praised and thanked our Heavenly Father for His goodness in our lives. But also many times have come those sorrows that life has brought unto us in many different ways and forms. And And it isn't easy when sorrow descends upon us. And yet, God again and again comes unto us, where we feel His loving embrace, where we're encouraged to yet believe for this day and this moment. The Lord was ready to save me. The Lord is ready to save your unbelieving loved one. Ready to save our unbelieving neighbors. We just pray on their behalf that, just as Hezekiah also found that place of repentance and received all his sins forgiven, that is the prayer that we have also unto them. And even when Jesus is reminding a unbelieving loved one, unbelieving neighbor, where he says that, "Behold, I knock," in that third chapter of Revelations, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, open the door." Open the door. "I will come in to him, and he will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." And then again he encourages us, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." And Hezekiah concludes here, "Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." Yes, we don't praise the messenger, the preacher, the speaker. We praise our Heavenly Father. When that unbelieving man Cornelius received the grace of forgiveness, and his entire family and his entire household, all the servants that dwelt there, and all those that he had invited into his home for those special services there. And the Bible says that when the gospel was preached, they believed, and the Holy Spirit descended onto all of them. And they did not praise Peter. They praised our Heavenly Father. And such it is here in God's kingdom, that we have much reason for thankfulness and much reason to praise God, the Creator of all things. And even this evening, dear brothers and sisters, believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, and be of good comfort. And I also need to hear this gospel, that can I believe my many sins and doubts also forgiven? I certainly desire to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.